Hello, and welcome back to the Mid-Am Podcast. We are your host. I am Tyler Munns, and across the screen from me is my good friend Nathan Furumasu.
Hello.
I stumbled.
Nailed it.
Foreshadowing for how my round went. So, it's officially 1 week until my qualifier. It's the Sunday before the Sunday, Master Sunday, and both Nathan and I went out and played today. And we thought we would review scorecards with each other just to kind of talk through the state of the games. And then Nathan also had a lesson recently, which I believe he mentioned on last week's episode. So thought we'd kind of talk about that and how that's going and, or, you know, what that was like going through, which I'd imagine is probably one of your first like fully remote type lessons.
Yeah, I've done like a couple, but this was like, I would say, yes, this is like the first full meal deal.
Cool. Yeah. So we'll talk about that and where you kind of want to take that as it relates to making changes, you know, kind of right in the middle of the season and then what you're planning on doing towards the end of the season. But before we jump into everything, we'd like to say thank you to the sponsor of the Mid-Am podcast, Adele Golf. Adele Golf has recently put out their Array series of putters, which are engineered for adjustability and total putter customization. The Array putter line from Adele Golf takes the guesswork out of putting. With four different head shapes, four interchangeable hosels, and multiple alignment and weighting options, now you can confidently roll it knowing that your aim bias and stroke type are accounted for. Learn more at Adele Golf, that's EDELGOLF.com, because even one shot can change everything. Thank you, Adele. We appreciate you.
Yes, I am very appreciative because I got to play some today, and it was the first time out on the course with the wedges.
The wedges, the SMS.
Yeah, man. And they did great.
Were they popping?
They did such a good job.
Gosh.
I bought them each a candy bar afterward.
And proud papa. Got
stickers. Yeah.
Well, why don't you kick it off, man? Let's hear about your round.
Sure. Yeah. So I played nine holes this afternoon because I had my daughter with me, and so I didn't feel like I wanted to try and stretch that out. So we just did a nice little afternoon round at a course called Cross Creek, towards the coast from where I am in Salem. It's 20 minutes west of here ish. Yeah, it's a fun little course. and was out there with Elliot, my daughter, who is 7, and she likes to occasionally swing at golf balls. And we just had a time of it, you know, rented a cart, I packed a lunch, we had snacks, she had, you know, we had the Bluetooth speaker, she was streaming Bluey every now and again when she didn't want to hit, you know, it was awesome.
I kind of want to do that.
Yeah, I'll bring you out. I'll pack you a lunch.
Would you? Wow.
Put on your favorite Netflix show.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was good times. And you know, I tried to film a little bit here and there, to grab some content, and you'll probably see some of that on the socials, but it was a good round. you know, anytime you're playing with,
a child,
someone, or like something similar would be like a beginner,
yeah,
you know, someone who's going to take a lot of your attention away from your own game. I feel like it can kind of go either way. It's like either you play really well 'cause you're not paying attention, or you can hit really good shots 'cause you're not paying attention. But then also you kind of aren't paying attention. So the score isn't necessarily always there. I actually played halfway decent today, but that's neither here nor there because that wasn't even really my focus. I went out today mostly with the goals of really, you know, trying to focus on my processes, mm-hmm. on... you know, the swing feel that I'm working with right now. And also something as a phrase that I've heard, I can't remember where I heard it, but I think it was like mental golf type or something like that. But holding the target in your mind, it's a lot of mental golf or sports psychology stuff. We'll talk about this, but basically, like, how do you stay target oriented, essentially? External versus internal, or whatever you want to, however you want to classify that. And I've been thinking about that a lot lately, and just trying to remember back to previous rounds that I've played where I felt like, oh yeah, like I did a really good job, like using my imagination or like envisioning the shot, mm-hmm. and keeping that in my head. Or, you know, I've talked about, you know, how sometimes I feel like I can kind of hear the course off to my side and hear my target. Or it's more just like I perceive it out there somewhere. And for some reason that gives me some directionality, as far as like engaging the other senses. Mm-hmm. So today I've been thinking back, and trying to remember the times that I've done it really well and figure out what was different. And I had this thought that, and I can't remember what pro I've heard say this, but, you know, a lot of times when we picture the shot in our head, it's from that side, like from your perspective at address. Mm. So as I like stand over the ball and I turn my head and look up, I take a snapshot of that, right? Or like I'm envisioning the target and the trajectory and things like that from that perspective. And I always really struggle with that.
Mm-hmm.
But there have been a few times where I stood behind the ball in before I even set up to it and was really trying to envision things back there from that perspective, like face on. Sort of like a lot of my golf visualization always goes back to like video games.
Yeah.
You know, like
Tiger Vision
or like honestly Mario Golf, a lot of that.
Oh yeah.
So, you know the perspective of basically like if you were seeing drone footage,
mm-hmm.
like it's the shot kind of at its apex arcing down towards its landing spot and you're looking at it square on.
Yeah.
For some reason, when I envision a shot that way and I try and keep that perspective in my mind, even while I'm standing over the ball, which is, you know, I've reoriented myself.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason in the past, that has yielded really good shots for me. So I was intentionally trying to do or consciously intentionally trying to do that today, on every shot. And yeah, it felt kind of weird. Just cause I haven't tried to do that in a while or thought about that in a while, but I think I do a better job of keeping this mental image of the target and of the shot that I want to hit, in my brain while mm-hmm. I'm hitting the shot that way. So I'm going to keep at it. I think I want to try and cement that a bit. And it yielded some good shots today. I had some really good shots. So not to bury the lead, I shot 39, which was decent.
Yeah.
Six pars, three bogeys. That's all it was. It was a super ho-hum. Missed a couple of birdie putts that I felt like I probably could have given a little bit better chance than I did. But still, they weren't like gimmies by any means.
Right.
And all of my bogeys, like two of my bogeys, I was actually quite proud of.
That's nice.
And yeah, we can get into that a little bit. But, you know, historically, my approach game, my iron game has been my weak point since we did TrackMan stuff and then also just playing together. And post lesson, there has been quite the reformation.
We love to hear that.
Like my misses were just like a groove or two thin.
Ooh.
But not like, which doesn't kill you.
Pro side.
Yeah, which doesn't kill you. And also like straight, which is awesome. So yeah. Let's see. So first of all, you know, I was kind of just trying to get us out onto the course. When I'm with my daughter, it's like, I just want to get us out there and then I can manage her running around and having a good time or whatever. But like, I don't want, you know, there's more eyes on you around the pro shop and on the first and 10th and 18 or whatever, you know, right around the clubhouse there. So I was like, let's just get out there. So I ran up, popped a driver down there. It's a short-ish par, well, 390, par four.
Mid-length, yeah.
Yeah, mid-length. It's just average. Hit a good one up the right side. Wedge, or not wedge, had like 150 in, hit a good one, and had about 6 feet for birdie on the first hole. And that was one where I was like, I was in a little bit of a rush. Yeah. Didn't probably give it a fair shake. So this is where I have to give myself a little demerit for going through my processes. You know, like I want to be looking at putts from all angles and pulling the pin and doing all this stuff. And I had my daughter asking me about something, and I was trying to make sure we got ahead of the group that was going to tee off after us. It was the afternoon, so it wasn't like busy, but I wanted to get out and ahead of people. So I just missed it, you know, kick in par, no big deal. Second hole, par five, pretty ho-hum par five, par there. Third hole, par four, pretty ho-hum par there. The fourth hole is a long par three, which I historically really struggle with. Mm. It's usually there's like a pretty decent amount of wind in and or across, and the way the hole just doesn't, it's the way it's built, it just doesn't fit my eye. Something about it, like I always end up missing short and left, which is the worst place. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I did my stuff, went through my routine, so stood behind the ball, took a couple practice swings for feel, just kind of loose practice swings, not like full practice swings. Pick a line.
I call them rehearsals.
Yeah. Set up to the intermediate target, just so I know I'm kind of square to things. Take it like a long waggle, take it back once just for feel, look once and go kind of thing. Yep. And man, I hit a great, great shot. I had hybrid in today because it was 202 plus some wind. So I just figured I'm going to give it a full tilt hybrid. And if you get up anywhere around this, the back half of this green, which is where the pin was, then it's all grass around there. There's not like other trouble. So it was like, I got a lot of room up there. I just need to get it the distance.
So yeah. So long was fine.
Yeah. So long was fine, but I didn't hit it long. I hit it like maybe 20 feet short.
Okay.
Of the pin, which was middle of the green or middle plus of the green. Great shot. You know, kicking par there too. So that felt really good. Hole five is Hole five is a long par five. It's 560. There's water all up the left, where I have visited frequently. And then there's also, you know, if you hit it real big and up the right, there's actually a pond that comes into play for a lot of the second shot and the approach, along the right side of the fairway or the hole. So you don't really have, I mean, it's a pretty wide fairway, but you don't really want to get crazy with it. And honestly, I'd probably be better off just hitting like fairway wood or hybrid, just bunting something out there, because it's a three shot hole for me pretty much anyway, or definitely anyway. But I always want to hit driver because it's a long hole and I'm like, and it's wide. I should be able to hit driver here. Like there shouldn't be an issue.
Yeah, right.
So I hit driver, caught it pretty good. And it drew.
Oh no.
And you know what? Actually, it wasn't like the hooks of yesteryear. In the pre Matt era, I'll say. Matt's the name of my coach.
PME, got it.
PME, yeah, the PME. It was a tight little draw that I just started up the middle, and that was the wrong start line.
So you don't feel too bad about that.
No, I honestly thought I was gonna find it. It looked like it was gonna, you know, like land in inside the hazard line, and it's soft enough out there that I'm like, this is not going to bounce. I'm going to find it. So we went up there, we got up there, and I didn't find it. You know, which is a bummer because I'm like, dang it, I haven't hit any of these. I hadn't hit a left shot yet today. Hit driver a few times. It was all good. Like I'm swinging good. I was even par to that point. Like this is a huge fairway. All I had to do was boop it out there and hook. You know, it wasn't a hook, but it felt like, you know, it felt like that in my heart. So I was, you know, bummed. And then I started to hear like this And my palms got sweaty, and my knees were weak, and my daughter was singing along with something from Bluey. And I thought, you know, if I had one shot right now to to right this ship before things get too out of hand. And this is something that you say a lot that I always really like, is like, all right, I'm out of position, or I hit it in the hazard, whatever. I'm not walking out of here with worse than bogey. Like, yeah, this is a bogey hole. That's all we're doing. We're keeping it to bogey. We're getting out of here and just cleaning it up. And, you know, I was going through, a myriad of emotions.
The five stages of grief, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I thought, no, what would Tyler do? And I dropped my ball, grabbed a 5-iron, which was, you know, the responsible choice to put it me in the meat of the fairway and have, yeah, a little flip wedge in. And I laced the thing. Beautiful. Oh, it was great. And that was my one shot for this 9-hole round for sure. Because, it was like the first sign of adversity and, you know, old habits creeping back in. And the round could become what it always becomes, which, right, is something, you know, meh. But instead, I bottled that, I guess, and
just kind of hit the reset button and just changing the perspective a little bit.
Exactly. We did all the right things in that moment that you're supposed to do. You know, I drew a line on the scorecard, so they say, or I, you know, refocused on the correct things that were needed to play good golf, to score good golf, instead of trying to reach for something extra. You know, we put the ball down, we made it happen, hit it up there to about 60 yards, wedged it on, 2-putt, we're out.
Like, easy. You completely took bogey. Double out of play.
Easiest. It was like a 2-inch bogey putt, right? It was so clean. Yeah. And I was pretty stoked to make bogey there.
Yeah.
Because it was, you know, it's like, oh, that's what it is. That's what it feels like. That's what good golf is. Yes, bogey.
Well, because it's like, not only was it a like good, you know, it was a good 5-iron. It was a wedge that got you on the green. You know, you sounds like you had a putt that maybe had a shot at going in for par, but like that was all compounded by good decision making. So it's like great execution of like the physical, but also great execution of like emotional regulation and like mental acuity to like shift your perspective from, all right, now I got to make up for this error that I just made, which you can't do. Like that's a fallacy. You can't make up for an error that you can only like look forward. And so you, in that moment, you said, I'm just going to look forward from here and I'm going to figure out a way to get this ball in the hole in 4 shots from this spot. And not one stroke more than that. And you did it. And like, that's very rewarding. So
yeah, very satisfying. I liked it so much that I did it again the next hole. So I went ahead and
hit a
tee shot left.
Like Jordan, this one 96, was, 97.
This one was a little hooky. I was in a rush here. There were extenuating parenting circumstances on this tee box. You know, that's an excuse, but it is what it is. I hit it left again, though, not terrible. Like I thought I was going to find it. And I didn't. So I dropped and put the next one on the green and 2-putted for bogey and got out of there. It was, twice. So I was like, cool, I'm getting reps. And I wasn't, I was trying to stay neutral. I was trying to just like, let's let it develop. Let's not force the issue. We're just going to stick to the process. We're going to, do all the right things. So it was cool. I was in a good place with that, I felt. Next hole's another long par 3, 208, wind into the face. Yikes. It's uphill. I I reached for a little extra with a hybrid and just flared it a little too far right of the green and just couldn't get up and down from where it was. So that was probably the only like bogey that really felt like a bogey. I don't know why. Yeah. And then the last two holes, just ho-hum pars all the way in. So all in all, like, I was pretty pleased with the round. You know, like, I want to make a lot of pars. And yeah, the bogeys that I made could have been much worse. And so they felt great. They felt like pars.
Yeah.
So I was pretty pleased, you know, first round post lesson. PME era. Yeah. All good, man.
Yeah. No, it sounds like it sounds like the score was secondary to it was really more about testing your process, and it sounds like you really stuck to it despite a pretty substantial distraction. So I think that bodes well for what you would be able to do when you don't have that going on. Like, I would imagine, you know, like, that's, you know, maybe a putt drops and you have one fewer penalty stroke and all of a sudden 39 turns into 37 pretty quick, you know?
Yeah. 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 I'm pretty pleased with it today. It felt good, even, you know, and I felt like, oh, if I'd have made the turn, it could have, you know, gotten even a little bit better. The only downside to my round is I didn't check off any birdies for the kids.
Ugh.
I was a little bummed about that because I did have, like I said, a couple of legitimate looks and I couldn't convert. Right.
We got a while. We got till November 30th for the kids. So it's still early. It's still early.
I know. Anyway, that was my round.
Lovely. So I played today as well, as we mentioned at the top of the show. I played 18. It was a money game, so technically you're supposed to putt everything out, and I made it a point to putt everything out. My playing partners were a little bit more generous with themselves, which is fine. I don't care. Do whatever you want to do. Also, we were on a team, so I'm not going to, you know, tell them that they can't do that, but you're supposed to putt everything out. I putted everything out. I had not a similar distraction, but I definitely had a distraction. There's a guy in my group that is a hothead, and he is very dramatic. I'll just, like, case in point, he absolutely laid the sod over one on three and did the, like, release the club in the backswing, and it went flying by my head. That could have been a bad situation. And it's just like,
yeah,
it's observing all of that happening and trying to stay in your lane. As I was actually, like, when I saw he was in my group, I was like, actually, I'm going to embrace this because this is going to be really good, like, mental training to, like, not let that distract me. Cause, like, every time I've ever played with this guy, like, same thing, no matter what. So I'm like, okay, I know what to expect, but at the same time, like, I can use this as an opportunity to try to block that noise out. So first hole. So yeah, again, my primary focus was, my pre-shot routine. Like, I wrote it all out step by step, and I'm like, no matter what, every single shot, I'm going to go through this full routine and I'm going to slow myself down because I have a tendency to kind of, like, check out, and then at the very last second when it's, like, time to go, like, rush through my process or just like completely abandon the process, just kind of get up there and swing. And it's like, well, I don't have to, like, necessarily play slower, but I need to start that whole thing a little bit sooner, kind of lock in earlier and go through that whole thing, and then just kind of feel that I have the ability to kind of, like, slow down.
Yeah.
So, that was the goal. First hole, hit a good drive, hit a wedge shot to 6 feet. Like, you also missed the putt.
Gang.
Yeah. Blasted it like 4 feet, 6 foot putt blasted 4 feet by. But I made the comebacker. So,
well, there you go.
Yeah. Number two, hit a good drive, which I never hit a good drive on number two. Hit a great drive, hit a great three wood. Had, like, but I still had 137 in because it's a basically a 600-ish yard par five. And it was soaking wet. So ball was just not traveling or wasn't rolling. But I hit a great approach shot. I tried to hit to the center of every single green, no matter what. I realized very early on this hole specifically that the ball is traveling farther for me, by about a club. So I tried to hit the center of the green. I was at the back of the green. And that wasn't wind or anything like that. It was just like the ball traveled nice. Farther, which is good. Something I've been wanting to do. I've just got to get used to it. So I had like a 33-foot putt. And I'll preface the rest of the round by saying the pin positions were diabolical today. Whoever set the pins needs to get laid because they were mean. I'll get into it later in the round. I got very whiny. And that's something that I wish I wouldn't have allowed myself to get in like that headspace to get into, but like they were really, really hard. There aren't many good pin like spots. You can put pins on the greens at Persimmon cause they're small and they are crazy undulated. But like these pins were just so bad. Anyway, so this pin was just on a little knob that was basically like a 6-foot turtleback like knob thing. So 33-foot putt, it like rolled out into the right or to the left of 5 feet, but I made the 5-footer, so that was cool. Next hole, I yanked it into what we call the butthole of the third, which is like this little... I think it used to be a bunker at one point, but they cleared it out. It's now grass, but it's like so below the level of the green. And the pin was tucked on the left, so I had no green to work with. Very tough shot. Hit it to 4 feet. I hit a great little flippy flop thing. Missed the putt, though. So I was a little frustrated about that. Next hole, pretty easy par. I hit it to like 16 feet, like just easy two putt. Next hole, mega block, dude. Like, get the Legos out. Mega block right, almost to the next, like, almost to the fairway. The next hole, I decided to just play it down the sixth fairway towards the, and I tried to get it up on the tee box over there. And so, because it was like, you can either try to take a lob wedge over the trees and if you execute that, you're still going to have like 165 out on this par five, or you just take it up the right side. So I just took it up the right side. Pretty good. Great shot, hit a great wedge shot to, from there, I had like 120 yards in, hit a great wedge shot to 17 feet. And I made that putt. So I got a birdie
for the kids.
I got to add
two now to the,
for the kids to the
page.
Hell yeah. sixth hole. This is where I started to get frustrated. So I hit a really good drive. I had 195 yards into this par five. But it was like downhill, rough. The course was so muddy that like you didn't feel like you could get a good stance. So I kind of like thinned it a little bit, but I had like a 33 yard chip, but the pin is on the left side and it's guarded by this huge knob. So like if you're left of it, you can't get it anywhere near the pin. It is truly impossible. So I had to just hit the best shot that I could. And it just kept rolling and rolling and rolling, out to like 33 feet. And this is one of those pins where it was just like impossible. So I watched the guy to my right, literally his ball was 3 feet to the right of my ball. And we were almost at the same spot, like distance wise. His snapped, like his went right to left and it snapped like 10 feet left. Like it thing just like trailed. I'm like, okay, so now I know what to expect. Yeah. Like it should do just about the same thing. So I aimed up like probably about 6 feet right, thinking that mine's not going to break as much. It went the other way. It went like it went a foot to the right. And everyone in the group was like, what just happened? So I had this 7-foot putt, but it was above the hole. And this is just, it's just a straight downhill putt. So if I don't hit the cup, like so I didn't make that putt. It rolled out. So I three putted from 33 feet. I was a little bit frustrated. Next hole is hole 7, which I hate. I pushed my tee shot a little bit. And then like, I just kind of got a little bit too, well, not that I tried to get cued. It's just like, you have to, you don't have a choice. So I try to hit like a very soft, like pitch shot. It just missed my landing spot by like 2 feet. So it stayed, it kind of hung up. So I had like a 18-foot par putt, but this is an 18-foot par putt that I had to aim at least 15 feet right, get it to stop kind of dead in line with the cup, and then watch it do a 90 degree left, like roll down. And it like barely got it. I was like, it almost went in. It like kind of just grazed past the lip at just the slowest speed you can think. And it still rolled out to 5 feet. And I missed that putt. 8. I hit a great tee shot. I hit a great wedge shot to 14 feet. But again, this is one where it was like, if I don't make it, it's going 8 feet past. There's just no, like, there's no other option. If it has to go in or it goes 8 feet past. And I didn't make it. So I had an 8-footer and I missed that. So I like two, three putts in 3 holes, bogey, bogey, bogey after being even. And then get up on 9. It's a really tough driving hole. It's a 352 yards straight downhill. But it was back about 20 yards. So it was like 370. Wind's always in. So I hit 3 wood because it's everything down there is so wet. It hits and just plugs. So I can hit 3 wood because it's not going to go any farther. I roasted the 3 wood pretty good. I hit it best 3 wood I've hit in like ages. It hits and kicks forward. No joke. Like 20 yards into the ravine.
Is sprinkler head or like what? Like
I was so nope. Just hit like the only dry piece of ground on that property. Yeah. Hit it and I turned around because I was like, perfect. And they just go, oh shit. And I was like, what? And they're like, it kicked forward. I was like, like down to the bottom of the hill? They're like, no, into the ravine. Like, I was like, what? So this is where I like process kind of went out the window. I got down there and I see it in the ravine. So I climbed down into it. And the ravine is just black. Cut down blackberry bushes, like brambles and stuff. So I get down there and I'm like, well, it's kind of sitting up and I'm so mad that I hit such a good tee shot and like, it's just wasted. I don't want to like drop. Yeah. So I'm like, I'll just try to hit it. Shouldn't have done that. Barely get it over it, but it like plugs into the still on the ravine side, plugs into the kind of the face of the hill that leads up to the green. So I go over, I climb down to there and I try to hit doesn't go anywhere. Is it one? I'm trying to remember how many times I hit. So I was like 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh yeah. Hit one more time, goes up.
Yeah.
2-putt for a 7. Sick. Really cool. If I could go back, I would have just dropped and played for, I should have just been like, bad break, dude. That sucks. Let's not do something dumb. Like just drop it. You'll have a 100-yard wedge shot, hit to the center of the green, 2-putt, and take your bogey and leave. Cause that would have been a 40 at least, you know. Next hole, 10 is a weird part, like right, like 90 degree right hand turn par 5 or par 4 rather. Hit 4-iron and I just like flared it short, had to punch down but like not too far, or else it just feeds into a hazard. So I had like a 30 something yard chip, it ended up being a 55 yard like pitch shot, because the pin was way in the back. Hit it to like 30 feet, which was annoying. Yeah. Two putted from there for a bogey. I was like, whatever. Next hole, hit a great tee shot, hit a great wedge shot to 15 feet, missed the putt, but easy par. Next hole, this is a par 368 yards. Super tough hole. But I hit kind of just center of the green to 30 feet, two putt from there, pretty easy. The pin location was also, again, stupid, but I happened to get it in a 3-foot circle, and I made the 3-footer, so I was happy about that. Next hole, hit a great drive. It just kind of tailed off to the right, and normally it hits the side of that because it's this big kind of hill on the right that feeds everything down to the left. It hits that, and even in the wintertime, it will roll down. This thing somehow stayed up. Didn't plug. It just stayed up. And so I had like this weird stance. So I just had to like punch it down, and then I hit my next shot was like from 140 yards, hit it to 12 feet, and I two putted from there, which was fine. The pin was also dumb.
I'm sensing a theme.
14 is a, yeah. So, I mean, after 8, I just was whiny about the pin locations the rest of the day. I like totally let it affect me for the rest of the day. But they were dumb, but I also let it affect me, which was bad, but they're dumb. 14 hit really good drive. Best drive that I've hit probably this year. It was great. Felt good. Felt really good. Had 130 yards. Hit a great iron shot to the center of the green, mm-hmm. but it ripped back somehow out of this rough. I hit the ball so far,
yes. It
trickled into the rough because I'm very strong. And so I had like, I was very surprised that this ball is wet. It was wet and it was in the rough, and it ripped back. This pin was the most egregious, I think, of the, of what we saw, but I had a 45-foot putt.
Nice.
Hit it to 4 feet, made the 4-footer. So good, yeah. Par. Par on a tough hole. I felt good about that. 15. This was a good hole. 15. So it's a 183 yard par 3. The pin was it's uphill and it's always a little bit into the wind. So it's like a 190-ish shot, 195 somewhere in there. So I took 4 iron and I just flared it to the right, and there's a bunker all along the right side of the green. So it caught the end of that bunker, almost pin high. So I was like, all right, I've been practicing my bunker shots. I am feeling more confident. So it was like a 24 yard bunker shot. And, I kind of get in there, I get set up, I see the shot. Visualize it, take the swing, and
yes,
hit it to like 10 feet, which was good. Like for me, pretty solid.
Yeah.
With wet sand, hit it to 10 feet. Nailed the par putt, which was like, hey, I did good there. I just felt really good about that. So that was a shot where I was like, cool, man. Like this was, I needed that. And it felt like I was like, okay, I'm good. I'm a good player. Like this isn't the score that I want to have for the round, but I wasn't scared of this bunker shot. And I knew when I got up to that putt that like I'm capable of making it. So that was my one shot. Which is brought to us by the fine folks at Adele Golf. Their whole mantra is one shot can change everything. It can change, the trajectory of a round or even a career.
With an Adele wedge.
Be sure to check it.
Way to go.
I sure did. With my 54, gosh, I can't, it was my 54. I don't remember what the grind was, but yeah, really, really solid. Next hole, 16, hit a good drive, hit a great, another one, like just, at this point I was like, okay, clubs are going one club farther. So I was like under clubbing, which I felt really, it was really hard for me to do, but I did it. And I trusted the number and I struck it really well. And it actually went even longer than I was expecting. I was expecting it to hit about 5 yards before the pin and then kind of release back. It flew to the pin and then released behind, but it was like a pretty easy, like 20-ish foot putt. Easy par. 17, par 5, up the hill. Mega blocks came out again. Brand new set. Just hit the sales floor, and I was first in line to get some mega blocks and hit it. We found it. It was plugged in just like a swamp, and I had an 8-iron in my hand to hit it over the trees. And then inexplicably, I think I was possessed, and I went back to my cart because I took a cart for the back nine.
Huh?
And I grabbed a 7-wood, and didn't get it over the trees.
I mean,
because that's impossible. Yeah,
they go high.
I don't
right?
know what I was thinking. And so then,
sure,
it's a high lofted fairway wood. So whoever sold that to me is full of shit.
It's easier to hit than your driver, but you'll
hits the tree. hit the tree. Kind of comes down. We find it. Hits the tree, bounces right again, which was cool. So then I had like 160 yards, and I was like, I can get a 6-iron up over those trees.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't get a 6-iron up over those trees.
The 6-iron has more.
So it hits the tree, gets knocked down.
Ostensibly, you should have been able to.
It does. Yeah. 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 But that just goes to show you that the 7-wood really had no chance if the 6-iron couldn't do it. So then I have a 85 yard, wedge shot, weird side hill lie. I actually hit a good wedge shot. Shout out to Adele.
Hello.
And had a, 24 foot putt, but again, these pin positions are horseshit. And it was another one where I hit it and it went 8 feet by. I know it sounds like I'm just complaining, but like genuinely from where I was, there's nothing like, well, if it does not hit the hole, it is going 8 feet by. And yeah, it's hard to do from 24 feet. Didn't want salmon. I said it 4 times. So another three putt, fourth three putt, third three putt, third three putt. Yeah. Third three putt. Double.
Okay.
Broke a lot of rules on that one. And then
why not?
18. Just the most uncommitted driver swing I think I can remember. This thing went super far left. Had a window. It was like probably 180 yards. Had a window. Should have just chipped down to the bottom of the fairway. Try to get up on and give myself a chance at a par. Didn't do that. I was like, nah, fuck it, dude. I'm just going to go for it. hit it into the brambles again. 18 and 9 are very similar in makeup. So I hit it into the face of the hill that leads up to the green brambles. Probably had 50-ish yards. So I get down there. I'm like, if I take another 7, I'm taking another 7. So I go down there, which is such a bad, like, what am I thinking? But I go down there and I hit it to 10 feet from down there. So
there we go.
Now I'm definitely doing that again next time. Hit it to 10 feet, miracle shot. It had no business getting off the club face, much less hitting 10 feet. And I almost made the putt. So I finished bogey. So that's 42-40 for an 82. I had to post an 82 because I tripled the number one handicap. Cool. Which is a net double.
Wow, man.
Yeah, 37 putts, 11 greens, 5 fairways.
A lot to unpack there. But also, like, maybe let's just, you know, when you get home from a trip and you're tired and you just kind of leave your luggage in the corner, you're like, I'll get to that maybe later.
Yeah. I think I learned, that I have, as much as I can stick to my process, like, my attitude is a problem. And so I, from that one, I'm like, dude, like, it's basically after six, when I was like, God, this pin position sucks. And then seven, I'm always in a bad mood. And then eight, the same thing happened again. I was like, I wanted to blame it on anything other than myself. And as bad as the cups were cut, like, That's it. That's the fact of life, and you can't get around it. And complaining about it isn't going to change where they're located. All it did was totally take me out of my the zone. And it just led to like a really underwhelming performance. I hit the ball pretty decent. I had three really bad drives that apart from one of them where I made birdie, the other ones like really put me in a bad spot. So it's like, I don't know. It was weird. It didn't feel like I hit the ball that bad. It honestly didn't even feel like I putted that bad. The number kept ticking up, and it was like, I couldn't do anything to stop it.
How do you think, here's a question for you. I'm going to be on the bag for you in a week. Should we develop some sort of like, I wrote down caddy safe word for like, if stuff starts to get that way and there's
just tell me to knock it off. Just say, dude, knock it off. You're being a child. You're not a child. You're 33 years old. I need the tough love. I need the like, stop embarrassing yourself. It. You know, I don't want to hear you whine again, we're Full turning this mode. Car around and we're gonna go home.
All right,
that's what I need. Yeah, I need dad on the bag to say,
I can do that.
Shut up.
I can do that.
Just play golf.
I'm not gonna have to, but I can. That's just it. Yeah. You know. Well,
no.
That's yeah.
Yeah, but I think like for the most part on the holes that I did really like go through the routine and slow myself down, the results were good. They were fine. It was just when things weren't going well, then I got just a little.
I mean,
I just got
at the same time though.
I just got really.
Everyone
pissy.
Does that, and if it were easy to not do that, the average golf score would be far better than it is. So, you know, you fell victim to the same thing that we all do here and there. It just, you know, it happens. It's good that, I mean, that you've taken some nuggets of wisdom away from it and are able to say like, okay, look, I can see you can still notch a few things on your belt and say like, okay, I can see that when I do the right things, right, it pays dividends. And I can see a direct correlation between this behavior and poor scoring outcomes, you know? So like that's good. That's still good stuff. It just doesn't feel good.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like it's like going to impact score like in a tangible way, but it's like, if you think about it more as like a long-term thing, like it probably could have prevented a triple and a double. Sure. Probably could have prevented that. And it's like, you take those triple, you turn the double into a bogey and the triple into a bogey. That's a 79, and I probably feel pretty good about a 79. When
yeah,
I
like a 79 really when you're like not driving
the ball particularly well.
Yeah, and the pin placements are tough.
And I was putting. So I put in my little notebook here for next weekend, like shoulders up and smile. So I'm just going to try to
tonic
like
tonic water, baby.
Biohack my
I'm gonna
way
have
into
a,
feeling
I'm going
to
bring some bags, little baggies of fruit tonic water. For you. Maybe like the dino kind or something. Like, here you go, Tyler.
Oh, there we go.
I totally had like PB&Js on the course today with the kid in the lunchbox. It was great. I may do that more often. I kind of enjoyed it. Probably more than she did. So that was good. Cool.
Perfect. Well, do you want to talk about your experience with Mr. Matt?
The pre and post Matt era, I suppose. Eras. Briefly, anyway. They're actually, we could probably rap about it for a long time, but just to keep it concise, I have been advocating that people should work with a golf coach forever. And I've not heeded my own advice because a lot of times I'm a conceited asshole and I think I'm smarter than everyone. And I have a
brave of you. Wow.
Clear and I would say well rounded understanding of what needs to happen in the golf swing and what good golf swings look like and how to get to that place. And so I've kind of just always gone it alone and been like, well, I don't want to have to deal with somebody else's ideas if I'm going to disagree with them. And so a lot of finding the right coach for me has just been like, okay, can I find somebody that I respect, that I am going to listen to, that I like their perspective, that also doesn't cost $800 a lesson. Right. So luckily, he's out.
So Dana Dahlquist would be really cool. Off the table.
I found somebody who's Dana Dahlquist certified. And yeah, there you go.
Oh, perfect. Exactly. There you go.
So
Dana adjacent.
The advent COVID did some great things for golf instruction. A lot of people started going online. There's stuff like Skillist now that's super available to you. So you can work with people who are all over the world, all over the country. So Matt Yun is let me pull it up here. I think it's at Matt Yun Golf, MattYun Golf.
Yes.
On Instagram. He is in New York. And I like his style. And I have followed him for a little while and just thought, you know what? I'm gonna pull the trigger. So I messaged him and was looking at starting one of his lesson package things but I just wanted to say, hey, can we do a FaceTime lesson just for maybe the first one? Just to have some, face-to-face time and kind of establish a relationship, I guess. Have a little DTR. I sent him some videos beforehand. We hop on the call. We chat a little bit about like stuff I've been trying to work on, problems in my swing, what my typical miss is. And he goes, okay, well, cool. Well, let's try this. First thing, let's have you drop your right foot back for now. And that's going to encourage some proper pivot motion. And then as you take the club back, I want you to forget everything you've ever been told or that you've heard nowadays on social media golf instruction about keeping the club face square to your swing arc or square to the plane or matching it with your spine angle. He's like, throw out all that stuff. It's bunk, basically. Or at least for me. I'll let him speak to that if he ever is on the podcast for
right.
If that's a by and large kind of thing. But he's like, you need to open that bad boy up. So one of my feels he kind of gave me, he's like, one way to really feel it is go crosshand for a second and then just take it back a little bit. And you'll feel the right hand, the trail hand hinge a whole lot, and the left hand, the lead arm will kind of work up and over. And if you look, then the club face is nice and open. And I would say even then like flat on the plane, right? Instead of square to the plane, it's dead open 90 degrees and flat on the plane. So that's the space I'm trying to get into. And I was like, okay, cool. I'll try it. I'm not going to argue with somebody. This is just, it's a drill. I'm going to try and see what this field does and promotes. Like, cool, let's do it. So I step over to the ball and he's like, good, that looks great. Drop the trail foot back a little bit more. Yeah, that looks like you're opening it up nicely. Cool. All right, well, let's hit one. Go, just, give me one about 70%. And that would be, the monolithic marker in time that marks the pre-mat era and the mat era.
The PME.
Well, the ME. Yeah, the PME and the ME.
ME, got it.
Because the little buttercut that came off of this 9-iron, I think it was so delicious. It was like, it was a little, croissant. Croissant. And then I proceeded to hit an entire bucket full of them. Hopping around from 9-iron, I went up to 6-iron. I was like, cool, let's see what happens when we get longer here. And then I was like, what about hybrid? At one point, Matt's like, I bet you're one of those guys that struggled to hit 3-wood off the deck, right? And I was like, yes, I am. Thank you. And he's like, well, you're probably going to find that changes now. And I was like, let's find out right now. So I grabbed my 3-wood and laced a couple up the range.
Yeah.
And, I have not looked back. I'm not going to look back. It's just me and Matt from here on forward. We can get into a little bit more of, how things are going to progress, maybe at a future date. Cause I don't really know. At this point, it's kind of like, hey, do this, experiment with it, play with it, see how it feels, and let's reconvene. So right now I'm just playing with it. I'm dropping the right foot back a little bit. Probably not as extreme as when I'm doing the drill, but just enough to kind of give me the feel of it and trying to turn that club open on the way back by whatever, P4, P3.5, P4. And yeah, man, I'm liking it. I'm liking where it's going. I see changes.
Yeah. I mean, the videos you sent me, like I was telling you that, those sound like on the range at a pro event, like the sound of that was something you don't hear at like a Muni. The compression, the contact, like the speed, it's like, no, that sounds like a tour player just hit that ball. So, that's cool. I'm excited to see over the next six months or so kind of how that progresses. Cause obviously swing changes take a lot of time. But it's good that you found someone you vibe with. That's certainly a huge component of finding a coach. And, to your point, with the advent of remote teaching in just about every industry, like golf is, you're able, the network of which you can access is broader than it ever has been. And it's only gonna, it's only gonna get broader. And so like, don't be afraid, to jump onto the, the remote learning train, because like you can get a lot of stuff done with there. Like, is there someone there in, real time, maybe being able to like physically move you in certain ways? No, but that's not maybe necessary, especially if you've got a decent understanding of like how the swing works and, the mechanics or the mechanisms that go into, what the face and path does to the ball. So, that's cool, man. Yep. I'm excited. I'm excited to see that progression. So, all right. Well, I think that's going to just about wrap it up. Thank you so much for sticking with us. If you have been liking what you've been listening to, which I would imagine you do if you're this far into it, after my bitch fest, then please rate and leave us a review on whatever app you listen to the podcast on. We'd very much appreciate it. I'd have some plans on doing some giveaways for folks who leave us reviews. So that'll be coming out over the next month or so. If you'd like to find us on socials, we're on Instagram at @midampodcast. You can find me personally at Fade and Fairway. You can find Nathan at Nathan.Furumasu and at Thistle Leather Goods. I'll put all of those links in the description. We'll also throw a link for Matt in the description as well if you'd like to reach out to him. I think part of the reason I'm hitting the ball a little farther is he put one tip out on Instagram that resonated with me, that got me like separating a little bit more, adding a little bit more speed, better contact. So, dude's good. And he's also like, I know him and Drew Cooper, are pretty well connected. So, Drew knows
a lot
about maximizing, you know, your performance. So, he's Matt's in great company in that regard. So, yeah, be sure to check him out. Please be sure to check out our Birdie-a-thon. I was able to add one to the collection. So, the link is in the bio, but please consider donating to that. When you're hearing this, we will both have played our qualifying rounds for the 2024 Oregon Mid-Am. Please wish us luck. I guess next week you'll hear a recap of how that went. So until then, I guess we'll talk to you later. Bye.